wrestle. So the sin that will also be on the screen as well, if you'd rather read it from the screen. And Brian's chosen an amazing story from Jeremiah chapter 32. And we're going to read the first 11 verses, and then we skip towards the end of chapter 32, and I'll be picking up the story at verse 42. So it's 1 to 11, and then jump forward to 42. Right, here we are. Listen up, everyone, as we hear God's word. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was in the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. The army of the king of Babylon was then besieging Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was confined in the courtyard of the guard in the royal palace of Judah. Now Zedekiah, king of Judah, had imprisoned him there, saying, "Why do you prophesy as you do? You say, 'This is what the Lord says, I am about to hand the city over to the king of Babylon, and we will capture it.' Zedekiah, king of Judah, will not escape out of the hands of the Babylonians, but will certainly be handed over to the king of Babylon, and will speak with him face to face and see him with his own eyes. He will take Zedekiah to Babylon, where he will remain until I deal with him, declares the Lord. If you fight against the Babylonians, you will not succeed." Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me. Hanamel, son of Shallum, your uncle, is going to come to you and say, 'Buy my field at Anathoth, because as nearest relative, it is your right and duty to buy it.' Then, just as the Lord has said, my cousin Hanamel came to me in the courtyard of the guard and said, 'Buy my field at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin, since it is your right to redeem it and possess it, buy it for yourself.' I knew that this was the word of the Lord, so I bought the field at Anathoth from my cousin Hanamel and weighed out for him 17 shekels of silver. I signed and sealed the deed, had it witnessed, and weighed out the silver on the scales. I took the deed of purchase, the sealed copy containing the terms and conditions, as well as the unsealed copy." And now we go to verse 42. "This is what the Lord says. I have brought all this great calamity on this people, so I will give them all the prosperity I have promised them. Once more, fields will be bought in this land of which you say, 'It is a desolate waste without people or animals, for it has been handed over to the Babylonians.' Fields will be bought for silver, and deeds will be signed, sealed, and witnessed in the territory of Benjamin, in the villages around Jerusalem, in the towns of Judah, and in the towns of the hill country, of the western foothills, and of the Negev, because I will restore their fortune, declares the Lord." While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time.
Brilliant. Thank you, Mari. Thank you so much for reading that. It's a very exciting passage. While Jeremiah was still confined or had been confined, the word of the Lord came to him, not once, but twice. All this that's going on in Jeremiah, as we start to read through Isaiah, as we started to do, Isaiah prophesied was going to take place, that Jerusalem would be under siege. It would be locked up, or in a lockdown situation. And God raises up prophets like Isaiah and the major prophets and the smaller prophets as well, raises up the prophetic to declare and to speak forth his truth and his judgment. That's what they do. But whenever God's word is spoken out in truth, there are people that want to silence it. We have an enemy that wants to silence it. And the people of Israel and the leaders, the priests, other prophets, and the king want to silence the word of the Lord that comes from Jeremiah. So Jeremiah is shut up in in the palace of the king. He's shut up there. He's under arrest. He's in bondage. Now, the first thing I want to say to you about that is that however our people try, we can't. God's word is never bound or restricted. God's word is not bound or restricted. I'm not talking about nonsense. I saw people holding up scriptures when they're acting as a mob in America, you know, and petitions for prayer and things. I'm not talking about that because that is an abomination, I believe. But I'm talking about when God's word is spoken in truth, and not just lifted out for people's own ends, but God's word is spoken in truth, people will want to restrict it. But I want to tell you, God's word is never restricted under any circumstance or by anybody, kings, politicians, other people. Even Jeremiah's family tried to kill him, you know. So, but it will not be restricted in any circumstance. Think about the disciples, if we shoot forward, locked up in the upper room. Jesus has been killed, but they're obedient to God. They're in that upper room just before Pentecost. And the word of the Lord comes in power to them, transforms lives. Peter has turned from a wimp into a giant, from a coward, from a denier, into one who stands forth and declares the truth of God and the salvation that's to be found in Jesus. So God's word wasn't confined, even though they were confined, for fear of Jews, it said they were locked up there. Or Paul, in prison in Philippi. I've been to Philippi, had a little look around there, and to see the little cell that I think Paul may have been locked in. But let's understand that God broke in there. God's voice, his revelation, and his truth breaks in. So today in lockdown, that's the first thing, let's understand this today. Our first thing that we need to understand in lockdown, for dear Bassimo and others that are really having to stay indoors as well. And we might be restricted in a lockdown. We might fear that there are enemies outside the gate. And for many of us, just to go out, there's a fear, you know, that the enemy is out there. Like for Jeremiah's time, the enemy was literally out there that could be seen. We've got an enemy as well that can't be seen at the moment. But God always breaks in. His light pierces the darkness. In lockdown and in fear of the enemy, but that light pierces in. I remember being extremely unwell for a period of time. And people kept saying, has God spoken to you? And I said, no, I don't feel well. I can barely get up, let alone pray or read the Bible. But God's not restricted by that either, how I feel. And one day I was laying there just feeling something, and it's like the word of the Lord broke straight into my life. Such a clear vision that it stayed with me. I had to wait for it because you can't just summon that sort of thing up. But God is the God who reveals himself. He brings hope and peace and promise and restoration as we read the rest of this, the rest of these chapters. He's not just a God of judgment. The judgment is there to bring us to a new place of hope and peace and promise. He's a God who restores. What does the psalmist say in Psalm 119, verse 30? Write it up somewhere if you want to. It's the entrance of your word brings light, brings enlightenment, brings hope, brings peace, brings joy, brings direction and guidance. The entrance of God's word, it will come. That's God's promise to us. The second thing I want to say to you, and I want to find the right people on my screen today. There we are. I'm on that page now. The second thing I want to say to you is this. God's servant and God's servants are never alone and never out of reach of him. You're not alone. I'm not alone. Sometimes we feel totally alone. Nobody understands that we are never out of his reach. Jeremiah's bound in prison. It's not pleasant. he's shut up. I mean, he'd had times where he'd been put in the pit, right up to his neck, you know, all sorts of terrible things. He's shut up. And he's shut out from his ministry and from the people that he's meant to be serving. But what I want to remember that we're never alone, because the prophet, and indeed us, was filled with God's Spirit. If I ask you, where is the Spirit of God right now? He's here. He's here. He dwells in me through new birth. He dwells in me through a baptism of the Spirit. He dwells in me. God's Spirit is in me. The Spirit of God was in Jeremiah. He recognized this was the word of the Lord as well. He dwelt in the old times, it was prophets and priests and others that were at a special anointing of the Holy Spirit. But in the last days, the promise is that we're all filled with the Spirit through faith in Christ and through the baptism of the Spirit as well. Separate things for another occasion. Jeremiah must have had terrible inner fears. As you read his story, don't you see that in him? You know, and he has a bit of an argument from time to time with God. You know, he actually will have an argument with God. Why are you doing this? And wicked people get away with it. This isn't fair. I don't think he was probably easy. I wonder if the Lord might put him on mute occasionally. I don't know. But anyway, you know, he was an interesting character, Jeremiah. It just proves that God uses anybody. But he had inner fears. He had concerns. Why? Thoughts of when and how and what on earth is going on and why me? He was often quite reluctant. But often what I want to say to you, he must have felt fairly helpless at one level. Fairly helpless. So often when things seem helpless, the Lord breaks in. Or shall I say, the Lord breaks out. I think it's a better phrase to use. The Lord actually breaks out. He's one who, because he's in us. Even when I don't pray, the Bible tells me that Spirit of God's praying. In Romans chapter 8. Even when I can't pray, he's still praying and interceding. When I don't feel, because he hasn't gone anywhere. And whatever situation we're in, we are not alone because God's Spirit dwells in us right now. Locked in a room, Basma knows that the Spirit of God is with her. He's in her. And when he wants to, he brings to mind and he brings scriptures out, jumping off the page so often. It's there for us. It's so thrilling. I'm just trying to change pages for a minute. So I want to say to you, God, when it seems helpless, often will break in. Or I want to suggest to you, much more theologically, he breaks out into our environment, as it were. Situations are changed, actually, if we read chapter 33, verse 2 or verse 42. I think situations are changed and hope is given for the future. It doesn't happen instantly by this. This is what the Lord says. This is not what the king says. This is not what the neighbours say. This is not what I think. This is what God thinks. The word of the Lord. Situations are changed. Our hope is given for the future by what God says. They're not changed by human might or even human words. You know, pastoral support and counselling is fine. What we actually need is God's word to break in. And some of us really do need to grab hold of God's word and let it penetrate us. We spend far too much time on one of these, watching and inputting our minds with all sorts of stuff. And some of it is nonsense and rubbish or on a bigger screen. We need to be inputting our minds with God's pure, holy word, because it brings enlightenment, it brings hope, it brings, yes, it brings correction sometimes, but it will give us guidance as well, because it's God's word, it's God's living word. God has breathed on it. That's why I'm so encouraged. Let's read Isaiah for ourselves. I have no intention of giving you a potted version of what it says. I'll give you some ideas because I want you to listen to God when you read it. So when, as we open the page, you say, Lord, what is this saying? What is this saying? What's it saying about you? What's it saying about the world? What's it saying to me? Is there something I should do from this work? We've been spoon-fed with little potted thoughts and people's ideas out for too long. God wants us to be used to his word reading. As a student, before I went to London Bible College at Roffey Place, I read through Isaiah, and almost every time, every worship, the Lord's word just jumped out at me. It was relevant. It was real. And that's what I want it to continue to be for us. Are you amening with that? Good. This is what the Lord says. Amen. Because human situations are only changed not by human might or human words or human kindness even. It all helps, but actually they're changed by the spirit of revelation, the spirit of truth. We're going to stop there for a minute. Enough for you just to digest for a moment. I want us to take a moment's silence. And then Phil's going to lead us with one more song, and then we're going to come back to God's word again, if that's okay with you. Thank you. Okay, Phil, I'll let you... Yes, indeed. Thank you. Well, that helps us just understand that God is bigger than our wildest dreams of him. And in this year, that's what we want to discover. There's a little phrase that comes a lot in the book of Hebrews and other places. How much more? How much more God? He's bigger. He's more than just our protector. That is who you are. You are a big God. A God who reveals himself. A God who's not silenced by any situation. A God whose will is our delight and our growing delight to want to do. Amen. Good. Let's return then to, well done. Thank God. I like these a few amens. I can cope with those. They help on the route, on Zoom particularly. Don't forget I come from that sort of Pentecostal side of the church, and I got you trained at one stage where you would have a few amens and a nods and or more African with a handkerchief maybe. But I'm not sure this weather's right for a handkerchief. There we are. Let's get back to the story. The third thing I want to say is the revelation of God comes to Jeremiah while he's locked up in verses 6 and 7 to buy a field. A dishonest relative, God tells him it's going to happen, and the dishonest relative is trying to sell his field in land that's already occupied by the Babylonians, so it's useless. It's worthless. You know, it's been taken over by the Babylonians. They own it. But this cousin comes Jeremiah and he says, buy my field. Now, note that he's not really interested in Jeremiah's health or well-being. Just do your duty, cuz. Just do your duty. Give me the money. So that I can probably leg it with the money, and you take responsibility for it. Now, what a strange thing to happen, really. And that's it, isn't it? So often people, wrong motive. Humanly speaking, why on earth would you spend any money on something that's absolutely worthless like that? I'll come back to that in a minute. Well, let's note something about prophecy, which I've said to you before. But prophecy, words of God, are not just a subjective thing that I think about. They need to be tested. And the promise is you can all prophesy, bring words of encouragement and help from God in the church. But it needs to be tested. Test all prophecy, we're told. So it needs testing. And how is this tested for Jeremiah? Well, it's quite straightforward, really. God says to him, God spoke to me, and he recognizes God's voice. And the more he speaks to you, and the more we listen, the more we recognize the voice of the Lord. And God speaks to him that a relative is going to arrive. Couldn't be more simple, really. How is it tested? And he's going to ask you to buy a field. What happens? The relative arrives and says, do your duty and buy my field. So it is no rocket science for this bit of testing. So verse 8, Jeremiah says, I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So we need, God's word is verified. That's a subject all by itself. Sometimes we get in a real mess when we think God has said this to me or somebody said it to me without any chance of it being tested. We need to test it, particularly if it's of life-changing importance. I've seen some lives really messed up by people just taking a word that was spoken to them. I think what you also need to know is often God's word is quite short and specific and to the point. Buy this field. Buy the field. So he knew it was the word of the Lord. Now, humanly speaking, it's not wise, a stupid thing to do, to buy this field. So what has this to do with prophecy? This is a symbolic prophetic action. This is symbolic prophecy. And often that is a thing that's even used today as well. God uses symbols sometimes. I remember God once asked me to bring a word to a person. And I was he was wearing a tie at the time. And I asked him to take his tie off, and I wrapped it around his wrist. And I said to this guy, and he was an elder of a church, I said, this is how you've been tied up, restricted with God. That's what God says to you. And the symbolism, it speaks, symbols and pictures often speak more to us than just words, don't they? So, and I untied it and said, this is what the Lord will do for you as you respond to it. And it was quite dramatic for me. It was quite dramatic for him as well. And that's what he's doing here. Here then, Jeremiah is giving hope and encouragement for the future. Hope and encouragement for the future. Some prophecy is in the here and now. Some prophecy is a little bit laid down the line, and some of it's a long way down the line in the future. But he's talking about further down the line and further still, I suppose, here. It's a future thing. He's giving hope and encouragement for the future by saying, once more, verses 43 and 44. Once more, despite the present chaos, fields will be brought, money paid, deeds signed and witnessed in Judah and Jerusalem and all around the area. And we know that that actually took place after the deportation. 70 years later, things started to return. Today, still, houses are bought and sold in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. But it's a picture of what will happen, a picture of hope that he's putting his hope in the future. So what does this mean to us? That's what I want to try and do always with God's word. What's this mean to us today? There we are. You're sitting in your room right now. We're again in lockdown. We're again meeting on Zoom, aren't we? You know, it's not ideal. It's uncertain times, concerns. The enemy, as I said earlier, is outside. You know, if we're wise, we're sensible to be concerned about going out or whatever. It's a concerning time. Well, I tell you what it means to us, I think, and this is a picture for us. You can't even see it at the moment, but on my phone, I'm not even going to enlarge it. I'm just going to show that it's there. On Wednesday the 6th, there it is. You can't quite see it, but it doesn't matter. It's there. You'll be keen to have a copy of it. On the 6th of January, as we start this lockdown and these uncertain times, we as a church at Merston have been given an offer for Airfield. We're selling rather than buying, and that would be true, but we've been given an offer in the middle of lockdown. I ask you, after years, and I've been at the go trying to move our building forward for 2.5-3 years, I think, of the nearly 5 years I've been with you. After 4 starts, we have a firm offer from our local council via Raven Housing Association to develop half our site for social housing at a price that we can afford to put a new building up on the other half of it. Now, you could unmute if you like and have a whoopee if you like, or you could go, oh dear, no.
Hallelujah. Praise the living God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Glory.
Well, yes. Oh, thank you. Oh, goodness. I'm not sure I want to do this now. This is getting a bit carried away with us. Yes, indeed. It's actually there in the middle of a lockdown. I'm reminded as an 18-year-old, stupid in itself, really. I took over my first business when I was 18 by borrowing a very small amount of money from a friend. I had no idea what I was doing, and I opened a barber shop. And you know what immediately followed? The 3-day week and a lockdown. I wasn't allowed to operate. But did I succeed? Yes. And in fact, my son's business is a follow-on from all that happened years and years ago. So I want to say to you that this has all the hallmarks, I believe, of God, of God's hand on our fellowship. What I want us to know, we're locked down, but at the Lord's time, the word of the Lord comes. We've prayed. We've sought the Lord. We have a building that has a very limited lifespan and is not attracting anybody at all. However much you may love it, it is what it is. It's a hut with a piece of temporary roofing there. And it's, bless it, it's been a lovely home, but it's about to have to go to be replaced by a new centre of hope, a centre where Jesus' name will be proclaimed, a centre where the poor and the needy are welcomed and looked after, a place where care and support is filled. A place where we worship God together and serve the community. I think that's got quite a lot going for it, don't you?
Amen.
I believe God is calling us, Little Merston Baptist Church, in the middle of this pandemic, to sell and to build for the future, for His glory. Good news. That's why this fits into that story. Not just for us individually. We're not alone. God is with us. When we God's word can never be excluded, and He breaks in and breaks out. And God's word at the right time comes. All things need to be tested. We don't need to test this. There's been no other offers. Not for years and years and years. There it is. Thank you, Tony, for bringing that up. Here she is. A little building, you can only see it, it's there, but with social housing for people that need a home to live in. What a lovely use of our site, just at the right time. Nobody else up until this time has shown any interest. With all the difficulties that we have on this piece of land, you know, it's restrictive covenants, it's on a floodplain, but we can now start to build a new building. Praise be to God. That is good news indeed. So however you feel today, I want to encourage you that our God's not abandoned us. We're not on our own. We are loved, protected, cared for, and God has plans for the future, plans to prosper. Amen.
Amen.
Now I will... I've got on my notes here that I've got a time of response. If anyone wants to say anything short, you can. If not, Phil, I think I wouldn't mind that last song we had just once, because the words are so appropriate, aren't they, for where we are now and for the message that God's given me. Yeah, Waymaker indeed, you know. Anyone want to share anything? You can. Put your hand up in Wayne Wall. Indicate you're there. No, as we take the steps along the way. Okay.
Brian.
And they're for you, my brothers and sisters. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render no person evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honour all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be upon you and upon us, and remain with you and with us forever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.